It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
It is the Sports Hangover on a Tuesday, which means it is time to talk to baseball coaches. Pelican Cup going on tonight, Tulane and UNO. We will speak with both coaches here in this hour, as well as the Colonels from Nicholls State, as the Colonels have been able to power through and get a couple of wins. They swept over the weekend at Southeastern. So three straight wins for them after losing a week ago at Louisiana. That is the Cajuns, of course. And as far as the Privateers go, they lose the series at HCU. So we'll talk to Coach Dean about that. And the Tulane Green Wave also were unable to pull away with a series at UAB. One-run loss on Sunday gave the Blazers the series win there. So they'll be at UNO today. They'll be at South Florida, or they'll host South Florida over the weekend. So we'll talk a little college baseball with our college coaches. Jay Ullman will give us a call here in this segment. Blake Dean will join us next segment. And Mike Silva of the Colonels will join us coming up at 12:30. Now, at 1 o'clock, we'll speak with Gary Smith, who covers, obviously, all of the area around here, Tulane, UNO, the works. Plus, he's been covering and going to Tulane spring ball here as well. April 20th is their spring game. The Tigers spring game is coming up on Saturday. So we'll touch on that with him coming up in a little bit. In the 2 o'clock hour, we'll also speak with Ali Kosel because the Pels get back into action. Leo Haggerty is actually going to join us at 1:15 as well. Go over last night's national championship game. What did you think of it? What did you feel that we have in men's college basketball? It was a dominating and convincing win when it comes to what we saw yesterday as UConn wins again. Back-to-back national championships for the Huskies, and Dan Hurley didn't get to really enjoy it, did he, at all? Because you know what happens when another coach, another program, makes changes and moves and leaves, that they immediately, right when you're winning, right there, at the press conference, hey, how you doing? How did it feel to win? You know the question.
I hope I don't misquote you, but you said out on the court something about UConn giving you all the resources you need. Can we interpret that to mean you intend to be back at UConn next year? You're not going to entertain any conversations with anybody else that might have a job coming open tomorrow?
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern. You know, my wife, you should have her answer that. Yeah.
We can maybe arrange a press conference for Mrs. Hurley in the morning. Congratulations, Coach.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, she'll answer that question better than I can. Yeah.
Something tells me that Mrs. Hurley is not about the move to Lexington. Apparently, I saw yesterday, too, there was an offer that he's not going to be able to refuse. They were going to give him an offer that he wouldn't be able to refuse, rather, if that was the case. I don't know. Dan Hurley was also asked if winning back-to-back titles feels any different.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. I mean, it's the same, you know, feeling that you have. You know, you just feel so light right now. And you know what, though? Maybe it feels a little bit better because it's like the last thing, knowing how great this team's been, we've taken, we've worn the everything shirt the whole year. And everyone in this organization gave everything so that we could win everything this year. You know, the MTE that we were in, the Big East regular season, the Big East tournament, the regional and the national championship. So we wanted to give everything so that we could win absolutely everything. And the thought of like Cam Spencer and Steph Castle in their short window of time with us, not to experience a national championship like we all have felt. You know, once we realized how good the team was, that became a little bit of a pressure point. You know, it would have sucked today to have, you know, blue and yellow confetti, and we'll have to walk off that court with Cam Spencer and Steph Castle.
So that was Dan Hurley on winning back-to-back national championships in men's college basketball. And another topic today is Dawn Staley. Should she maybe be the next coach at Kentucky men's basketball? Dawn Staley, of course, winning the women's national championship with South Carolina. But it is Tuesday, which means it is time to talk a little college baseball. Jay Ullman of the Tulane Green Wave joins us each and every Tuesday at this time. Coach, as always, appreciate the time you give us, man. How are you?
Gus, how are you? I'm okay.
Doing well. So a week ago, we chatted, and you guys were going to take on Texas Southern. You get a win, take care of business in seven innings, 19-1, getting ready for that road series at UAB. You don't come away with the series win, a one-run game on Sunday. Saturday, a one-run game, a high-scoring game, 14-13. That one you did win, and then on Friday, you didn't come through on 6-2. What was your overall take on those three games against the Blazers?
We didn't get enough length out of our starting pitching. And I think, you know, in spurts we had some nice offensive moments, but there were too many lulls offensively for me, for us to kind of get a big early lead and kind of ride some pitching. So, we didn't get any length from our starters and didn't get enough in the middle innings, I thought, from our offense. But, had a 1-1, a one-run win and had the tying and go-ahead runs on base on Sunday. But it was too little too late at that point. So disappointing for sure. So we're going to try to get back on the horse today in the Pelican Cup and get back to a winning way and then, look forward to taking on the Bulls of USF this weekend.
When you break down the games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, do you think it was a collective sort of thing of issues, or as normal, Coach, each game kind of presents its own challenges?
Yeah, I think each game kind of presents its own challenges. I thought Flat on Friday didn't have fastball command, his normal fastball command, so he was frequently behind in the count. So he had to work harder than he needed to. And then kind of another piece of the puzzle was on Saturday, Chandler went out and he was no hitting them for three innings and he got a two strike, gave up a two strike infield hit and then another hit. We give up a home run, a three run homer. And then it was bang, bang, bang. We should have got out of the inning at 6-3. Mm-hmm. But our normally reliable, grad transfer shortstop caught the ball, went to exchange it and he bobbled the exchange, and so the guy was safe, and the next guy pinch hits, and it's a grand slam. So we go from pretty comfortably up 6-0 to a 9-run inning just in the blink of an eye. And the good news was we turned right around off that 9-run inning and scored 3 to tie it, and then it was kind of back and forth the rest of the game, which we won. And then on Sunday, Lombardi came out in the first inning, and it was like strikeout, pop up, strike out, like, all right, here we go. Like, he was in total command for that inning. And then he started getting behind it. It felt like every count was 1-0, 2-0, 3-1. And, he gave up 3 walks and 2 hit by pitches and basically chased himself with his lack of command. And so I felt like on Friday and Sunday, we whether it was from the mound or in the field, I felt like we gave them what they didn't earn it. We gave it to them, and then we didn't do anything offensively in those two losses to, offset. Like it's like we always say, it's if we give up 7, we better score 8. If we can only score 2, we better give up 1 or less. So it's just you got to find a lot of different ways to do it, and unfortunately, we weren't able to uphold our end of the bargain for 2 of the 3 games.
Coach, when you take a look at the American Athletic standings here, UTSA, you said a couple of weeks ago that they were pretty good. They're 7-2 in conference play. You guys are still kind of there in the mix in the middle of it, too. So that's why that it's so important just to kind of that saying, right? It's hard to do, and I get it. It's flush it, move on, because South Florida is a pretty good one as well as a 6-3 in conference play.
Yeah, they had a great weekend, and, Billy's coming back to his home, so to speak, and I think they're feeling good about the way they're playing. And if you look at our league, it's just kind of, everybody's kind of, it's like a little bit above 500 baseball. East Carolina still continues to be the standard bearer with their record. But, for us, it's just, it's a, opportunity sweep in the first weekend at Rice, still, you know, looms for me of, you know, those are big moments, you know, and you got to be able to take care of business. And, but here we are, we're 3-5, like you said, or 3-6. We got to flush it and focus. Really, you can't start chasing the money. It's like if, you know, a bad gambler, he likes to play blackjack and he gets beat in 2 minutes, he goes to the ATM, you know, you keep chasing your money, it's going to be a bad thing. So, We're not going to try to chase it. We're going to try to, you know, be in the present and, you know, take care of business tonight and focus on that game first, and then, you know, get to Billy's crew on Friday and, you know, be in for a tough series again. So, you know, every weekend's going to be, no matter what, in conference, everybody's got the same wishes and aspirations and goals, and, you know, everybody's kind of similar, you know, so. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the timing of it all matters, and so we've got to do better, and we'll start again. Like I said, we'll try to get back on that horse tonight.
Game two of the Pelican Cup tonight. It's going to be over on the lakefront. Last time you guys played back in February, it was at your place. You guys won 6-3. We talked back then about how competitive this series sort of is here as well. They've been playing some pretty decent baseball as well. Should be a fun game tonight.
No question, and you know, both sides obviously have a lot to play for. Not only for, you know, bragging rights, but now you're talking about a piece of hardware, the Pelican Cup, and we had it the year before. They got it back last year, and you know, our mission—they're trying to keep it. We're trying to get it back. You know, so you know, like I said, Blake does a great job, and those guys will be ready to play, and they'll be formidable offensively, and I think they'll probably, you know, mix and match on the mound, and we'll send Will Clements out there, who's been a Sunday guy for us. We moved to Tuesdays now, and so we'll roll him out there, and then I think, like I said, I think they'll go with not Johnny Holstaff, but I think they'll try to break it up with a few different arms.
No doubt. Coach, well, good luck to you, not only tonight, but also this weekend as you guys host another conference series here against South Florida. 6:30 on Friday, 6:30 on Saturday, and at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Looking forward to talking to you again next Tuesday. Thank you for your time.
Always appreciate you guys. Thanks for covering college baseball.
For sure, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Hour number one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast and, of course, the kayaks. 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie, where you will be there on Friday. Special promotions on that Friday. They'll be doing lessons in their demo pool as well. They'll have discounts on camo and winter gear. Come on out. Come check things out. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I pass by literally every single time I drive to the Pels game. I go in on Airline from Metairie, so I always see it on my right. It's on the side of the train tracks across from Premier Fitness, past Causeway, heading towards downtown. When we come back, Blake Dean, head coach of the UNO Privateers, next on ESPN New Orleans.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Catendale.
Thanks to Jay Ullman. Go to the Tulane Green Wave. This team will be going up to the lakefront tonight. Take on Blake Dean and the UNO Privateers. Coach joins us as he does weekly here in this segment to talk Privateer baseball. Coach, thank you for your time on a game day. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
For sure, man. Doing well. Thank you. A week ago, we were talking about you facing South Alabama over there at Maestri Field, and you get the win, 7 innings, 13-3. What stood out to you in that victory?
Yeah, you know, we've been playing kind of sporadically wild. I mean, sometimes we'll go out and score a whole bunch of runs and we can't score at all. And, you know, it's kind of all over the place. But the offense really showed up when it was kind of moving and went and had a quick one. And, you know, on the midweek, you like to see that happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you head on over to Houston to take on HCU. And I guess that offense showed up there on that Friday matchup. It was a 2 o'clock game, 15-4. You guys won in 7 innings.
Yeah, again, you know, back-to-back run rules, you know, we hit really, really well. I mean, it just looked like, again, we couldn't be stopped, and offense was swinging the bat really well. Then, again, you wake up, you're like, you know, same thing happened with UIW a couple weekends ago, you know, Easter weekend. We run-rolled them opening game, and then our offense seemed to just disappear. So, trying to get a little more consistent with it.
And then you get to Saturday and Sunday. You guys drop a 7-1 game on Saturday and on Sunday, 11-4. Is that just a case of the you know, they're what they did on the mound?
I think it was, you know, again, I think it's a little bit of both. I think they went and threw the ball better. I think they did a good job. But, you know, again, we look up and the wind was howling out just as it was on Friday. And you're sitting there and you're left scratching your head, you know, trying to figure out what happened, you know. And I can say this, and I think a lot of teams are saying this right now. I've heard LSU say it, and I've heard multiple other teams say it. If our guys that are supposed to be our guys don't produce, then we're in trouble. And so, you know, we need our guys to produce. I know it's a lot of pressure upon them, but in order for us to go, we need those middle guys at that 3, 4, 5 to get going in the order. That way we can produce and be consistent with it.
So you look at a midweek game here, and you guys are going to host Bluefield State here, this Pelican Cup. The first time you guys met back in February, what do you remember about that game? And I know it's, I mean, it's almost a month away, you know, from, so it's been a while. Both teams are kind of a bit different, but what do you remember from that 6-3 game?
Yeah, it feels like it's been eternity ago. It feels like it was forever ago. Same thing, just don't feel like we could get anything offensively going. Didn't really have any pressure put upon them. Didn't really... You know, they didn't really, to my recollection, didn't give us a ton of free passes, made us earn what we got. We didn't do very well. You know, it's a low-scoring game to where they had a couple big hits. And, again, we were left behind at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. What's the message tonight?
Get the offense going again. Try to just put together, you know, the wind. I'm sitting here looking out my office window. The wind's blowing out 15 miles an hour to the left, so it's zooming out. You know, just again, find some ways to put some consistent at bats together and elevate some balls. Heck, we go out Saturday and Sunday this past weekend, and literally we hit one ball in the air on Saturday after having 10 extra base hits on Friday, just flipping the ball in the air. So find a way to put it in the air today.
You think teams are just keeping it down low? You just missing it, or is that it's more of an approach thing?
It's got to be an approach thing. I didn't see anything drastically that the arms were doing. You know, again, I just think we've got to be better in advantage counts. And, you know, when we're not in advantage counts, we've got to find ways to get off better swings and be more consistent with it.
Got any tidbits on getting a little league team to just put the bat on the ball? We didn't score yesterday in my game.
Hey, I feel the same way sometimes. We go on Run Rule UIW on Thursday, Easter weekend. I'm like, okay, and then we make the pitcher of the week on Saturday to a complete game shutout.
Well, the worst thing about it, Blake, is it's 7-8, and I'm pitching to my team. So, I mean, the last thing I want to do is look like Nolan Ryan, and I'm not trying to strike them all out.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to put the bat. But it is one of those things, man, where – It, like we talked about it before, there was a confidence thing, which is an approach, being aggressive, and all those different aspects of it. Baseball is just one of those games, man. When they're hitting, and then on other times, you're like, can you just put the ball in play? You know, it's hard sometimes. It's crazy.
It is. I tell people too. I think nowadays it's not even so much your guys anymore as it's the teams you're matching up with.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, oh man, you catch this team, they're doing really well, and then, you know, then another time these other guys catch them, and they just can't even seem to catch the ball, hit the ball, anything. So it's a very momentum-driven game for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Bluefield State, you got a couple of things. I love this Bark in the Park on Saturday, brunch at the park. It's always a fun time when you come out there and, you know, try to get a couple of wins there for the home folks.
Yeah, that's what obviously we're trying to do. I think it's a good time to have a bye weekend. You know, I've already went to Florida State and got my butt handed to me this year, so... I wanted to, you know, at least try to put a place in the schedule to where, again, who knows? You know, it's baseball. We could lose 3 games. But it's somewhere at least I try to give us a little bit of a break outside of conference to where we can kind of get some stuff hopefully going again and hopefully get our belief and momentum back and keep things rolling.
Blake Dean, head coach of the UNO Privateers, thank you for your time on a game day. They'll be taking on Tulane over at Maestri Field tonight. 6:30 p.m. is first pitch. Thank you, sir. We'll talk again next Tuesday when you guys will be taking on LSU on the road.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
Yeah, for sure. Take care, as always. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation on the Rudiman Can Hotline. 800-998-1003. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Mike Silva, head coach of the Nickel State Colonels, who have had a couple of games here in a row that they have won, including going to Southeastern and winning that series in a sweep. They won 8-7 in 11 innings on Friday. On Saturday, they won 7-3 and 9-5 back on Sunday. So we'll talk to him about his team as they do not have a midweek game. They don't play again until this weekend when they host Northwestern State next Tuesday. They'll have another midweek game. It'll be at Southern Miss before they go to at HCU. So before we go to him coming up at the bottom of the hour, I do want to play one or two things that we were talking about a little bit earlier to open up the show. And that was obviously UConn winning the men's national championship. Lots of attention being paid to whether or not Dawn Staley should be considered as the head coach for UK. Chris Canty this morning.
Why should Dawn Staley decide that she has to leave? She doesn't have to leave women's college basketball in order to get the bag. She doesn't have to leave in order to elevate her profile as a coach. She's good right where she's at. And she doesn't need to deal with all of the cooks that are in the kitchen when it comes to Kentucky men's basketball, with the AD and with the team, with the president, with the boosters. Big Blue Day. She doesn't have to deal with all of the nonsense that led to Coach Cal being jettisoned. Stay right there at South Carolina and do your thing. Kentucky can call. She ain't got an answer.
There you go. Speaking of, could she do it? Nancy Lieberman, you see her a couple of games during the season with Bally Sports New Orleans, her and Aaron Hartigan, part of the coverage as well. She was asked this morning, could Dawn Staley coach not only there, but maybe the NBA?
Do I think Dawn Staley could coach in the NBA? Hell yes, she could. They respect her. Some of these guys want to play for people that have something on their resume, right? I mean, if you have a pedigree, they want to play for you. You think young men, white men, black men, you think they care that we're a woman or not? They just care, can you change my life? Dawn Staley has everything. Lindsey Harding has everything, and she's proven it. So why not give a woman a chance instead of recycling, you know, some of our male counterparts?
All right. So that's some topics being thrown out there nationally. The other I just saw again just popped up. They're going to keep asking him. I told you, I saw a report that said Kentucky is willing to give an offer to Dan Hurley. He can't refuse. Well, he was just on Pat McAfee. I saw it on my TV. The sound is up. Do you want to hear it? Because I can't hear it, because it's muted. But this is what he had to say just now.
My phone broke on Saturday, so I had no idea that like any of that stuff was going on. And then I got those questions after the game that you're not prepared for, and that your agent doesn't want you to answer. You know, he just wants you to say nothing. It's just keeping it real, but yeah, I mean, we're not. I mean, UConn right now, our mindset, literally, once we got on that team bus, I think I turned around and said, like, you know, where's the East Regional next year? All right, first two rounds were in Providence, mm-hmm. and then the Sweet 16, Elite Eight are in Newark, New Jersey, you know, where I lived and worked for 9 years, and then the Final Four is in San Antonio. So, yeah, I mean, your mindset, we're going to enjoy this, you know, for a couple days, Pat, but like, it's going to fade quickly, and then you're going to get back to work, and you're going to put a roster together that you know, can hopefully go for a dynasty.
I think one of the things that I was listening to when people describe whether or not you go to this school and you're at school or not, I was talking about it on the show yesterday too as well, has NIL, has the transfer and all that, has it changed things in this aspect of it? We saw, I don't know if a changing of the guard, but we saw maybe the diminishing of dominance based on a coach, based on a program with Alabama football, didn't we? Once that transfer stuff started, once the NIL stuff started, I kind of don't have to go to Bama to be the man, to be the star, to go into the league. If you're good, they'll find you. And maybe it's better to go somewhere where you can play now instead of waiting till you're sophomore or junior for your turn. I think things have kind of changed from that aspect of it. That said, Seth Greenberg does use the word Alabama in comparison to Dan Hurley.
What you saw there the last three weekends, and people were watching college basketball locked in, I see every single time I go to practice. Every single time I go to practice, there's a standard. I call them Saban-esque. They're Saban-esque in how they run that program. They don't have the number of championships. Dan Hurley only has two right now. But in the manner in which they run that program, they're Saban-esque.
Tim Legler on Dan Hurley.
Yeah, I think he is. And it's not just, look, it's so easy to say it when a guy wins two national championships. For a guy like myself that's watching every night and watching games, I'm looking at it differently. And because I was a coach, I love to watch it as a coach, what they do, what they run, the purpose behind their movements offensively. Everything they do has a purpose in what you're trying to accomplish on either end of the floor. So that's why I say that he is.
And that is the best coach in men's college basketball. Quick break. When we come back, we will go to Thibodeau and speak with head coach Mike Silva, talk about the Colonels and their baseball program here as well. As you're listening to the Sports Hangover, or Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing over on the Gulf Coast, which is here. 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie will be there if you want to go see all of the things that they can do for you at your convenience. Go online. NoWakeOutfitters.com. We'll be back on ESPN New Orleans.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
The Colonels had a nice weekend as we bring in head coach Mike Silva of the Nickel State Colonels. Baseball teams 23-11 overall, 6-3 in conference play, and 6-3 in conference play thanks to going up to Southeastern over the weekend in Hammond and defeating Southeastern 8-7 on Friday in 11 innings, 7-3 on Saturday, 9-5 on Sunday. Coach, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good, Gus, man. How are you?
Doing well. A week ago, we chatted on Tuesday. You were going to go take on the Cajuns, and you kind of might have brought up something about the fact that they were kind of the hottest team in the state and had won a whole bunch of games in a row, and you guys battled in that one and came up a little bit short there in seven innings.
Yeah, a lot short. You know, we walked or hit 12 guys in the first five innings. You don't win games like that, but you know, the resilience of just regrouping and moving on to the weekend. This time of year, everybody knows conference is the most important thing. And then, obviously, Southeastern being a rivalry weekend up there against a really good team, really well coached, and they've been playing good baseball here and beat some really good opponents. They just came off, you know, walking off Southern Miss on Tuesday, and, you know, we were able to go up there and have a really good weekend.
Is that what – I mean, you just said it there. You hit 12 – have you ever been in a game where that many people got hit by a pitch? Like, did you think that they were getting on the plate or something, or ball slippery?
Yeah, no,
that's just weird, right?
I think the longer you do this, the more you just, you know, you never go to the ballpark too many times to be shocked by something that you see.
Right.
And, you know, it's one of those deals. But that's how crazy and unique this game is. And you turn around and you go out there on, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you play really good baseball. So who knows, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that it's just kind of be on the regroup and refocus, and we were able to do that. So I'll trade Tuesday for the weekend.
What stood out to you in the weekend series against Southeastern, especially having to go into the extras there and win that one 8-7 in 11 innings?
Yeah, I thought they're all really good games, and to be quite honest with you, I thought all of them could have went either way. I think They're a really good team. They're really well coached. It was a really good atmosphere. You know, it was really fun. It was, and not just because of the outcome. You know, their fans are engaged. They do a really good job up there. And it was just really good baseball games. And just like, you know, opening weekend, we lose three at home, and I thought we could have won all three. And up there, we won all three. And at Corpus, we won all three. So we've won six in a row in conference. And every game, I feel like, could have won either way. And I really think it'll be the same. You know, I say it every year when we get in the conference. I think every weekend's the same. You play well, and, you know, you get some timely hits or make a big pitch or big play, you can sweep a weekend. And if you don't, you can be on the bad end of it as well. So we got to kind of keep that momentum going.
When you talk about momentum, it's so weird when I look at the box score in that game. So you guys get 2-8. Hey, things are going great. Just got to shut them down in two more innings. Then they get that run in the ninth to send it to the extras. You score, they score. Just kind of an interesting thing to then go to 11. I mean, you want to talk about swing of momentum there. It's just those three innings. Hey, we're in a good spot. Darn, we got to keep going. Hey, we're in a good spot. Darn, we got to keep going. It's that roller coaster of a game, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt. You hit it right there, though. You just said it. Keep going, right? And I think that our emotion this weekend was really good. It was really emotional. It was good emotion, though. I think a lot of times this year, even when we were playing well, it's like we're riding that wave of, like, euphoria of the highs and then almost like manic depressive of the lows, and it takes us too long to get out of it. Like, you just keep playing. You don't know what's going to happen next. And I tell them all the time, I've been up by 10 in the last inning with two outs and nobody on and lost, and vice versa. You know, 21 years of doing this, you kind of see a little bit of everything, and just kind of stay in the moment, going and playing. Just keep going. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know who's going to come up with a big hit or a big pitch, and you stay in the fight long enough, a lot of times you come out on the right end of it. So I was proud of our kids and happy for them, happy for our fans. It's a big weekend for us. You know, I'm not one of those people that runs from the fact that that weekend and that series means a lot to a lot of people around here. Mm-hmm. And it means a lot to me to be able to deliver. We've had a lot of success against them in the last 2 years, and that's not easy to do because they're a great program. They have a great team. They're really well coached.
It's not just football. It's not basketball either. It translates to baseball, huh, Coach?
Yeah, there's no doubt. It doesn't matter. We're an hour and 20 minutes apart, and they have a great program and a great athletic department. And going into their place and winning is really difficult. And we've been fortunate to have a lot of success there. But just like I said, after Tuesday, we have to regroup. We don't have a midweek this week. We got to regroup. We got Northwestern State coming in, and they've been giving everybody all they want. And their record might not be great, but they're really well coached. They're getting better every week, and we're going to have our hands full. And we have an opportunity to put ourselves right back where we need to be if we take care of business this weekend. But it's going to be a challenge for all three games, that's for sure.
That's what I was going to ask you about, not having a midweek game. Does it kind of allow you to kind of do some things, focus on practice and stuff of that nature?
Yeah, for sure. And we don't get a chance to do that in this sport very often once the season gets going. And we need to have a good practice today and tomorrow. Thursday will be really light getting into the weekend. But and then the weather tomorrow looks like we're going to fight a little bit. But, yeah, get some guys out on the mound, get some guys some opportunities. But more importantly, get guys healthy. Get some guys off their feet that have been playing a little bit dinged up. And hopefully this next stretch we have, we have Northwestern State on the weekend. Then we go to Southern Miss. And then we go on the road to Houston Christian. And they're playing really good. They've won two of their last two series. Then we go to LSU on Tuesday, Louisiana Tech on Wednesday. It's not going to get easier. But I always say, if you're any type of a competitor, this is the type of year you live for. We're on the final two columns of the schedule, and so you kind of suck it up and keep going, and hopefully we can gain some momentum, like I said, from this weekend and carry it into this tough stretch that we have coming up.
What's the one thing that you've been kind of proud that your team was able to do here in this month? Because, it's crazy. In the month of March, you looked at it and you went through that stretch where, you lost, seven straight? And then you've kind of turned it around a little bit. And you mentioned it even then that this is kind of something, hey, you guys can sort of learn, maybe kind of understand, hey, you're hunted this year as opposed to not, and kind of a refocusing. Did you think that's kind of what's happened here now 2 weeks after that streak?
Yeah, I think we're growing up. And I think I think you look at our bullpen this weekend, even when we faced adversity, we didn't really have a dumpster fire, so to speak, and we for sure did on Tuesday before. And then our bench, and I think we're playing a little bit more selfless. I think that we're finally really bought into it's about helping our team win, not necessarily about my individual statistics. And I think that maybe we had a little bit of selfishness early, like how many innings am I pitching, why is this guy playing? And really these last few weeks, it hasn't been. Ever since we got swept by New Orleans, and I hate to say it's a good thing for us, yeah, it's been very selfless. It's been really good energy. I mean, you go to breakfast in the morning, the guys they're connected, they're together, and it's probably as close as what I felt like a year ago. These last 2 weeks, as far as like we got beat up pretty good against the Cajuns on Tuesday, and I thought our practice on Wednesday was terrible. I really did. I thought it was terrible, but I thought they owned it somehow. I don't know what was said in that locker room. I wasn't in there. I didn't think it was good, and I let them know that I didn't think it was good. But they didn't run from it. They didn't run from being challenged. And then they responded. And I think that you have to go through adversity and tough moments to grow. And I think everybody wants to point to last year, but last year's team got their teeth kicked in a lot too. But if you would have showed up to practice, you could never tell. I used to always jokingly tell them, like, you can't kill cockroaches. Like, you couldn't tell if we won 13-0 or we lost 13-0 every day. They just showed up. They were the same group every day. And I think we're finally getting to that, and we're getting over the whole afraid to lose thing. We're going out and we're expecting to win. I think that's a really powerful thing.
You mentioned there that you weren't in there. How obviously you've been doing this for a little bit here as well, and I think I've asked you in the past too, what's that that weighing of, not even on the scales, but just kind of, hey, how do I know if somebody's struggling or not, how to motivate, how to coach when I bench somebody, things of that nature. It's kind of the same thing to what you just kind of said, huh? How much of leadership you guys do as a staff, and on the other side too, understanding, hey, maybe sometimes players have to kind of take that ownership and do that as well. Is that just something?
Here's how I'll say it. A lot of coaches won't say it like this, but I'll be quite honest with you. This time of year, it's time for coaches to get out of the way. They've been coached enough. It doesn't mean you stop coaching, you stop teaching, but you said everything you need to say. I have an older group of guys, and they've been through this before. We're either going to do it or we're not, and I'm going to trust them, and I'm going to believe in them, but it's their time now. It's their time, and I felt like that last year. I got out of the way about this time, you know, last year. I really did. Everybody thinks that I got out of the way and let them. I trusted them. I felt like we did a really good job coaching our guys. I feel like we've done that again this year, and it's time for them to do it. And I'm not going to get in their way. I'm going to let them go ahead and do it, and hopefully we can keep it rolling.
All right, Coach. I know I asked you a little bit about it, but just kind of overall, your number one message going into Northwestern State is understanding it's business. Take care of it.
Yeah, but then have fun too, right?
Yep.
Like,
okay.
I mean, have fun. Man, none of us started doing this because in the stress of it, and I feel it sometimes too. I don't lie to them. I feel it sometimes too. And I want to go have fun and play and compete for each other and have really good energy. And if we do that, I feel like we're going to be on the good end of this thing more times than not.
Hey, Coach Mike Silva of the Colonels, thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it. No midweek games. Northwestern State will be the next time they will take on to the Diamond on the field of action. Thank you so much, Coach. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate it, Gus. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yep, for sure. Friday, 6:30. Saturday, 6:30. Sunday, 1 o'clock is the way to go check them out over there in Thibodaux. Again, a week from today, it'll take on Southern Miss and HCU. It's crazy. He said that, and I was scrolling there a little bit. I was going to look at the standings and talked to him about it. Really isn't that much. I was driving yesterday to Carver's Little League game, and I'm like, how are we here already? Game one of another baseball season. Like, I feel like everything is flying by. You know, I don't know if you guys feel that way too. I mean, April 9th here, I'm sitting here already. I feel like, you know, it was just a couple weeks ago we were talking about, wow, what do the Saints do? Can the Pels get close to this for the, you know, all-star break? This is the last week of the regular season for the Pels as they take on Portland. And we'll start focusing on that here coming up in hour number two and three. Ali Kosel is going to join us here as well. But this is it. Like, their last regular season game is Sunday. Play-in would be, I think, today, a week from today and tomorrow. And then the first round starts Saturday, Sunday. So, I mean, it's here. And then, oh, by the way, not this Thursday, not next, the following one, that's the NFL draft round one. 2 weeks away from the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. We're in the Masters week. I got some Tiger Woods sound coming up next segment here as well. It's just nuts how fast everything is really going. I don't know. It was interesting to kind of look at it because Lamar is on top of the standings right now, and they will face Lamar Nichols at home in Thibodaux on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, May 10th, 11th, and 12th. And you're like, man, that's a month away. It seems like a ways away. Really, honestly, isn't when you think about it. They play Southern Miss Tuesday, HCU, LSU, Tech on the midweek. Then at Southern UIW, Lamar is the week right after that. So it's really kind of around the corner there a little bit. Southland conference standings look like this. You got Lamar, Nichols, UNO in third, A&M Corpus Christi, Northwestern State, HCU, Southeastern, McNeese, and UIW is the way the standings go there. Over there for the American Athletic Conference, it's UTSA, ECU, South Florida. Both of those schools have 6-3 on conference play. UTSA 7-2. Florida Atlantic 5-4. Wichita State's 5-4. Memphis is 5-4. Charlotte 4-5. The Wave 3-6. UAB 3-6. And Rice is 1-8 in conference play. Quick break. We come back. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to chime in on the Ruderman Can Hotline, 800-998-1003. This is Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
RudermanCan.com is a way to go check out and see how anything you need, plumbing services-wise, things of that nature. RudermanCan.com is the way to go online and check them out. They present to you each and every day. Our phone line and guest line, 800-998-1003. As we said, Pels getting ready to take on the Portland Trailblazers. You can name it, say it however you want. I mean, you gotta have this one, okay? Sacramento and Golden State, Thursday, Friday, the Lakers. 2:30 p.m. at home on Sunday. That's it. That's your regular season. So you got Portland tonight, 9. Sacramento, 9. Golden State, 9. And then you have 2:30 p.m. on Sunday here against the Lakers. Hopefully those games don't mean that much. They all do. We all know they do. Anyway, I want to quickly play because he was out on a practice range earlier today. Well, not the practice range, actually on the course at Augusta, seeing how he's feeling and stuff, and everybody wants to know. I mean, look, he moves the needle. You know that, right? It's all about Tiger. And when it comes to Tiger right now, it's about his body. How do you feel?
I hurt every day. So, yes. I ache every day. And I prefer it warm and humid and hot. And I know we're getting some thunderstorms, so at least it'll be hot. It won't be like last year.
All right. So there you go. Weather is going to be interesting. Obviously, it comes through tomorrow. And I've already seen it already. What, severe weather risk? I think most of the day, about 100% chance rain here. Well, it's Wednesday. Augusta in Georgia. It's a state or two away to a right. So that's what I think he's probably referring to, is that Thursday you could have weather affecting that a little bit there. So it's something to keep an eye on. As far as what is he capable of doing, can he win one more or not? You know, that's obviously the question everybody gets asked.
What do you feel like you're capable of doing this week? What do you believe that you can do this week?
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more. Want me to describe that any more than that, or we're good?
There you go. Look, I said it before, too, the last one he won. We're all just kind of watching and just going, wow. Can he actually do it? I'll never forget it. I mean, we're sitting there at Lakeside Mall. The kid, he was playing in that little playground area there. And I wonder, why do I feel like it was Easter weekend or it was like this, somewhere around there? Might have been. I don't know. But I've never seen anything like it where everyone, and including Anna, was like standing next to me. Everyone had their phones out and everyone was watching it via stream and watching him win that, which was nuts, you know, when you think about it, about, I guess, technology and just the attention that he absolutely does get. And he moves the needle, to say the least. That is for sure. So let's see what happens this Masters tour happens. Scottie Scheffler is the favorite, and he is, like, very heavily favored. I was watching SportsCenter earlier this morning, and they were basically saying that not since Tiger has somebody been, you know, favored this much to be able to go in there and kind of be that dominant, kind of whether it's the odds and things of that nature. So let's see if that happens. And he can kind of give us a little magic or something like that. He's made, what, 23, I think, weekend cuts in a row. So it's something to kind of keep an eye on and see if that will continue or not. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation on the Ruderman Can Hotline. As we said, next hour we're going to focus a little bit more on this game coming up for the Pelicans tonight. And it's they're all big. When you take a look at the standings, the scoreboard watchings, and where we are. If you caught the show yesterday, nothing's changed because there were no NBA games yesterday. So, when we look at the games of note, games to pay attention, where do you want to start? Let's see. Let's start with the standings for starters, okay? It's Minnesota, it's the Nuggets, 1-2. Oklahoma City is 3, one game back. So the top three teams in the Western Conference are separated by one game. You're going to hear, and I'm going to go over the schedule of the teams in and around the Pels and who they play. You're going to hear Minnesota. You're going to hear Denver. You're going to hear OKC. I don't see a situation, which is what Adam Silver wanted, which is why they put in the play-in, where teams are going to sit players and the last week means nothing. You want the one seed because that means home court throughout. Why is it important for those top three teams? Well, there was something Graf pointed out yesterday. They're really good at home. Minnesota, 28-10. Denver, 32-8. OKC, 29 and 8 at home. By comparison, your Pelicans are 21 and 18, have not been very good at home this season, much less shooting, and that is a whole three-hour show on the graph as to why that's the case. I don't know either. Look, I've told them, can you bump into Willie Green the elevator and suggest, I don't know, maybe to have a practice or a shoot around at the blender? I don't know. They can, especially like from distance, three ball shooting, it's about a 2% difference. I want to say somewhere, this was like 2 weeks ago, I think it was 39% on the road, 37% at home. Like beyond the arc. And that's substantial. Like that's a lot. Anyway, so your top three, T-Wolves, Nuggets, Thunder, all separated by a game. They all want the one seed, okay? So with 3 to 4 games left, they're not going to not try for that, okay? At 4, you have the Clippers. There are 3 games behind the Thunder. I don't see the Clippers getting up there. They're likely going to be your 4 seed. Dallas, they are the 5th seed. 6 games back, a full 2 games above the Suns in 6, 2 games above the Pels in 7th. I kind of mentioned it a little bit yesterday looking at it. Dallas, in my mind, they're the 5 seed. I know it stinks. I know a week and so ago, the Pels were 4. The Pels pretty much lived at 5 for a couple of weeks. Now they're 7th. I hear you. Would you have liked to face the Clippers in 4? I know some people did, some people not. I don't know. I think 6 is the realistic spot. I don't see, with 4 games left, you could overcome a 2-game deficit. If that makes sense. Especially when the Mavericks have at Charlotte, at Miami. That could be a tough one. You host Detroit. They'll play you hard, but you have more talent. And then you're at OKC. I don't know what that last game's going to be like. Is it for the Thunder to get that one seed? Are they already out of the one seed or two seed? Are they comfortable? Do they rest players? Does Dallas? I don't know. So that's why you would have to win 3 and then lose 3 for that even be realistic if you're the Pels. And when I look at the Pels schedule other than tonight, Sacramento's going to be tough. Golden State's going to be tough. The Lakers going to be tough. Now, all of that saying, if by the time the Pels play those 2 teams at the end of the week, or 3 teams, if it all matters, the Suns face the Clippers tonight. Then they're at the Clippers. Then they're at Sacramento. Then they're at Minnesota. So the Suns pretty much have as tough a schedule as the Pelicans, sans the Trailblazers. Does Minnesota have the first seed? Are they the second? Are they the third when you get to that final game on Sunday to where the Suns either play everybody or their T-Wolves do? I don't know. But the Suns got a pretty tough 4-game stretch here. Clippers, Sacramento, Minnesota. Now, how do the Clippers approach it? You got a 2-game lead on Dallas. Do they sit players in that second game against the Suns? Or are they like, look, we're not going to go any further than 4th? Or, obviously, with them, if they're going to face Dallas, they probably want home court. So, they're going to try to get home court. The Kings are in 8th. They face at OKC, host New Orleans, host Phoenix, host Portland. The thing that you have on Sacramento is that you won the series. So, while you only have a 1-game lead in the standings, it's really 2. You can finish with the same record, you have the tiebreaker. So 4 to play, you have essentially a 2-game lead. That's why today is so vital. Every single win that you can get helps you, because no one can pass you if you win. Right? Does that make sense? And then you got the Lakers. I get it. I'm with you. Makes me nervous. Game and a half. Edge on them. 3-game lead on Golden State. You face all those teams. When we come back in hour number 2, we'll hear from Gary Smith, Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KNAE, as well. And